I'd like to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program, and this program, The More Abundant Life, features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wentley Phipps. Before we get into today's message, which is about Paul and his trials, here's some special music, which I'm sure you're going to enjoy.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. In my trials, Lord, please walk with me. In my trials, Lord, please walk with me. All along my I make heaven, Lord, please walk with me. Till I make glory, Lord, please walk with me.
You are listening to The More Abundant Life. We just heard music by Wentley Phipps entitled, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me. And that's from the Favorite Spirituals CD. Now here is the message for today. Here's Pastor Phipps.
I thank God that we who live in Christ know that we've got somebody who measures every trial before it reaches your doorstep. And trust me, God won't let anybody put more trial on your doorstep than you can handle. Trust me. Sometimes it feels like you've reached a breaking point. But I'm here to tell you, if you live in Christ, he won't let anybody put anything on your doorstep you can't handle. As a matter of fact, the servant of the Lord says that when you are in Christ, he surrounds you with his presence. And the blow that the enemy aims at you first falls on him. Because you are surrounded with his presence. And then whatever comes through to you comes from him. So don't talk about what they did to you. They couldn't do nothing to you that Christ didn't let them do to you. Are you with me today? When you live in Christ, you have somebody who calibrates your worries. Yes. Else you'd go out of your mind. Amen. Sometimes God will even, Lord help me this morning, he'll even shield from you the real deal. Just so that you can keep your sanity. He calibrates your worries. Hallelujah. You serve somebody who regulates your stresses and your burdens and your cares. You think you got too much on you. Let me tell you, you don't know what you should have on you. If you knew the real deal. Today, because of Paul's ministry, more than anyone else's ministry, Jesus Christ has become the bedrock of the Christian faith. Now, after his conversion, Paul understood that the ministry he had been given was unmatched by any human being of his time. Paul was a bad dude. What he had, what God gave to him, was unmatched in ministry by any other human being of his time. God allowed Paul to experience some things that normal preachers don't experience. Normal human beings don't experience. And turn with me to that text, 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. Now, I'm going to need a little time to explain this carefully today, so pray for me, amen? And I will try my very best in the Lord Jesus. In this scripture, 2 Corinthians 12. Now, notice how Paul opens this scripture. He said, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory." Now, I'm going to get that little black Bible that's under the seat here because I want to explain this by the grace of God. This shook me as I studied it this week. Paul said, "It is not expedient for me to what? To what? Glory." Now, Paul is starting out here talking about it's not expedient for me to glory. And then he says, I knew a man in Christ. Amen. I did what? Now let me give you a little tip. Paul was talking about himself. But it was a strange mixture of humility, but yet a desire to boast. Are you still with me today? Paul said, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago." In this scripture, Paul writes to the believers in Corinth, telling them of a rare and wonderful spiritual privilege that had been granted to him. Paul was trying to be so humble. He was trying to be so careful. He didn't even present himself as the one who had actually been caught up to heaven. But in fact, Paul was talking about whom? He was talking about himself. And according to his own testimony, as you read through that scripture, Paul says he was caught up in vision beyond the first heaven, beyond the atmosphere, beyond the heaven we can see. I was caught up, said Paul, beyond even the second heaven. Now, the scriptures talk about heaven as a three-tiered place. The first heaven is the heaven that you can see, the atmosphere about you. The second heaven is the heaven where the stars are. outer space. That's just the second heaven that the astronauts are trying to get to. But Paul said, I was caught up past the first heaven, past the second heaven, and up into the third heaven where the throne of God is set. Lord have mercy. He said, I was caught up into the very presence of God, the axis of the universe, the command center of the universe where God reigns and angels sing songs of praise. In this third heaven, said Paul, I heard things I had never heard before. Things of which, and listen to what he says, I am not permitted to speak to you. I am not allowed to tell you about what I heard. In this third heaven, said Paul, I heard sounds and voices, the likes of which men and women have never heard. I heard things unspeakable. In this third heaven, said Paul, what I heard was more wonderful than any human language or dialect could imagine. And I realized, said Paul, that in experiencing this third heaven, I was permitted a favor not granted to sinful man. And that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You ever hear people use that text at funerals? Well, Paul was referring back to the fact that he had been to heaven. He knew what it was like. Are you with me today? So he was saying, man, if you only knew what I knew, you'd want to be absent in the body and present with the Lord. He was speaking from the perspective of one who had been allowed to experience what it is like to be caught up into the very presence of God. Oh, yes, said Paul, as unbelievable, as marvelous as it may seem, I, Paul, who was stoned and shipwrecked, I was permitted entrance into the third heaven. And then, and this is the crux of my message this morning, in a moment of extraordinary candor, Paul said, I must tell you, any man who has been caught up into the third heaven, about such a man, I'm ready to boast. Now remember, he's talking about himself, but not really talking about himself. Okay? Now look at verse chapter 12. He said in verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I what? Glory. Paul says, any man who's been caught up into the third heaven, I'm ready to boast about him. And then he goes on to say, of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I what? Will not glory. Now, Paul, which is it? Are you going to glory or not glory? You see the tension here. Now, Paul said, and go on if you read on, Paul said, now, if I chose to boast, well, let me read it to you. For though I would desire to glory or to boast, I shall not be a fool. Paul is saying, if I chose to boast about this man's experience in the third heaven, it would not be the boast of a fool, because I'd be speaking the truth. I know what happened. I was there. But, and then Paul again, he goes on, he says, but I refrain from boasting. Which is it, Paul? Because, he says, I don't want anyone to form an estimate of me that goes beyond the evidence of their own eyes and ears. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Even though I had no intention of boasting, Paul goes on to say, about what I heard and seen in the third heaven, stay with me this morning, even though Paul said it was never my plan to glory in this honor God had given to me, but Paul said, because God knew me and knows me better than myself, because God knew that I, Paul, would be tempted to boast, and to glory in what I saw in the third heaven, even though I'm telling people I'm not going to do it. I'm telling people I knew a man. I didn't tell you it was me. But God knew that Paul would be tempted to boast. Are you with me today? And to glory. Because God knew, said Paul, that I would be tempted to glory in this rare and wonderful experience. And let's look at verse 7. Lest I should become exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, God gave me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble, so I wouldn't glory. We're talking about Paul here. We've always heard he had a thorn, but did you know that God gave him the thorn because he knew he had the propensity to boast? That's why I tell you the truth. When people come to me and say, oh, Pastor, that was said, put that glory at the foot of the cross. Don't bring it by me. I got a limp all by myself. Are you with me today? I got enough trials. I have enough burdens to carry. I don't need you to help me get more. Amen? Paul says God gave me this thorn in the flesh, and he called it a messenger of Satan to buffet him and torment him because he knew he had the propensity to boast. Woo! To keep me from exalting myself. Now, many theologians have speculated as to what Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been. Some say he was crippled. Others said he walked with a limp. But Galatians 4, 13 through 15, by Paul's own words, it suggests to us what it might have been, what that thorn in the flesh might have been. Look at Galatians 4, verse 13. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for making your word clear today. Galatians 4, thank you. Verse 13. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you at the first. And then Paul says, and my temptation, which was what? In my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. And then verse 15. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. In other words, brothers and sisters, the servant of the Lord also suggests, whatever that thorn was that Paul was given to protect him from his propensity to boast and to pride, whatever the thorn was, Paul says there came a moment when I couldn't take that thorn in my flesh anymore. In other words, let me go back and say, brothers and sisters, many theologians believe that whatever that thorn in the flesh was, it had to do with his eyes. Had to do with his eyes. Maybe he was near blinded. Maybe his eyes oozed. Maybe they were grotesque. But whatever it was, that moment came when Paul said to the Lord, now, I'm preaching. I'm healing people. I'm going to make a request of the same God that uses me to heal people, to heal my thorn in the flesh. 2 times I prayed, said Paul, and I asked the Lord to take it away, take this burden, this trial, this affliction. 2 times I asked God to remove this ailment, this thorn from my flesh. But each time, Paul said, I asked the Lord about it, he was silent. He was silent. The 3rd time I made the request, God answered me from the 3rd heaven on the 3rd request and said, I'm not taking this away, Paul. You're going to need this to get to the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, in each of our lives, God looks into the future. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows you better than you know yourself. And sometimes because of your own propensities, sometimes because of some secret sin in your life, while looking at your future, God will say to the angel, I know my child. I know what he can handle. I know what he can't handle. So take that trial away, but leave that one. He's going to need that one to keep him on his knees. Take that burden away, but don't move that one. That one he's got to struggle with all his life, because that's the only way he's going to make it to the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, into each of our lives, God has placed a limp, a deficiency, an insufficiency, a disfigurement, an inadequacy, some area in your life that you feel like life has dealt you a bad hand. Nobody's got it perfect. I don't care how wealthy you are or how good looking you are. You've got a limp somewhere. You're passed over. You're misunderstood. Everywhere somebody knows what I'm talking about. Let me read you something. Paul went on to say that the Lord spoke to him and said, no, Paul, my grace. Grace will see you through. I'm not taking that thorn. I'm not taking that trial. Grace, my grace will see you through. And then 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, most gladly, Paul said, he came to that point where he said, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. God had to bring Paul to the point where he had no interest in glorying about what he saw in the third heaven. He was now glorying in his infirmity. He was now glorying, finding glory in what the thorn God had put in his flesh. Because it was through that weakness he was made strong. Now listen to these words from the servant of the Lord. Have you ever been through something? Have you been through something? Thank you. Listen to the words. The opposition we meet. Have you ever met opposition? Listen to this. The opposition we meet may prove a benefit to us in many ways. I don't know about you, but I've been through some things in my life. People have done things to me in my life. And I look back now and I say, thank you, Jesus, that you did that to me, that those people did that to me. Because you did that to me, God gave me a blessing. So don't worry, people doing you in on your job. God will give you a better job. I know what I'm telling you. I'm talking from personal experience. God said to me one day, son, I see how they're treating you. And I'm going to judge the situation. But when I send my angel to judge, just make sure that the way you've been acting, that I don't have to give that angel your address to hit your house on the way back to glory. My grace is sufficient. I will bless you. Listen to what she says. The opposition we meet may prove a benefit to us in many ways. If it is well borne, if you bear your burdens well, God will bless you. If you bear your trials well, God will bless you. If it is well borne, it will develop virtues which would never have appeared if the Christian had nothing to endure. If you didn't have something to endure, your character would not be looking like the character of Christ. Listen, and faith patience, forbearance, heavenly mindedness, trust in providence, and genuine sympathy with the erring are the results of trial well borne. Listen to what she also says. That's from Review and Herald, 1892. Trials will come upon us that are originated by the prince of evil. And they'll come from people in the church as well. People who know what it's like to work like the devil for the Lord. Did you know there are people like that? They know how to work like the devil for the Lord. She said, the enemy will contend for the life or the usefulness of the servants of God and will seek to mar their peace as long as they remain in the world, but his power is limited. The enemy's power is limited because my grace is sufficient for the enemy's power. His power is limited. He may cause the furnace to be heated, but Jesus and holy angels watch the ore that's in the furnace. Thank you, Jesus. And to the trusting Christian, grace will be found sufficient and nothing but the worthless dross will be consumed. In other words, when you're going through the fire, God is watching you and he's making sure that only what is worthless gets consumed. That's the kind of God you serve. And that's why he says at times the power of darkness will gather about your soul and shut Jesus from your sight. And you wait in sorrow and amazement until the cloud passes over. While under the trial, these seasons will seem terrible. Hope will seem to failure. Despair will seize upon you. But in these dreadful hours, you've got to learn to trust him, to depend wholly upon the merits of the crucified and risen Savior. Cast your soul upon him. We shall never perish while we do this. God will come through with grace in your time of need. By the way, that translation, it says he'll give you grace in time of need. It really means grace in the nick of time. Hallelujah. Grace in the nick of time. I'm talking about like Abraham when the knife flashes in the air. Grace in the nick of time. I'm talking about we're like Pharaoh with the hosts and chariots on the heels of the children of Israel. Grace in the nick of time. I'm talking about like Elijah when the brook dried up, didn't know how he was going to feed himself. Grace in the nick of time. That's the kind of God you see.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's message. If you would like to obtain an audio copy, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342 and refer today to program number 366. You may also email to seabrookav@yahoo.com. Refer to program number 366. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I'd like you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.